Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is End Times Friday, and this will be airing April the 5th. So starting the springtime.
Good morning and happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And we had Denny Weinberg on last time, and he helped us understand, you know, the two-state solution issue. Gave us a great description. If you haven't listened to that, go back and pick that up and listen. And he'll come back. He actually showed us, you know, maps that he showed us. He sent those to me. And so when he's on next, we'll have him go back through those. I can pull them up.
It's such a fun resource to have him on and just getting another perspective, right?
Yep, it really is. And that there is news since we had him on, and that was he was talking about the two-state solution. The issue at the moment is that Hamas military leaders who are still alive are hiding in a town called Rama. Mm-hmm. In the Gaza area, and when they hide, and they've already have done this in a sense, they've done this for decades really, is they build tunnels and things underneath schools, synagogues, or not synagogues, but the temples, mosque temples, the hospitals. Mm-hmm. And so they basically try to be where there is civilians that make it harder for them to be attacked.
Right.
Just because people...
Human shields, essentially.
Yeah, even Israel would rather, you know, not harm civilians. Although, you know, as Denny described, is that it's not just a small group of people that are terrorists. It's the people themselves that want to annihilate Israel. So that's an interesting... dynamic.
But then there also are, you know, Christians in the mix of all of that.
Yeah.
So
it's not an easy thing, but because they know where they are in Rama, the city called Rama, Israel is working a plan to go and take care of them by trying to force them out, you know, have them surrender or I guess be killed. And they're going to continue to go. And remember what Denny described is that the entire nation of Israel, and as supported by their parties, mm-hmm. Have all signed an agreement to support the elimination of Hamas. And it's not just a few people that want to do this. It's the entire nation of Israel that want to do it.
Right.
And again... since we're not in that boat at the moment, you know, we have a hard time understanding it. But if it was happening to us, and I'm talking about America, if it was happening mm-hmm. in your state, and there were people bent to kill you and annihilate you, mm-hmm. there would be no question that we would stand up and try to eliminate them mm-hmm. and make sure that they can't do that against us. And we would, the Americans would stand up, kind of what happened at 9/11. There was some period of unity where everybody said, you know, we got to stop this from happening again. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter what party you were with. It was like, hey, we're Americans and we want to do this. So the Israeli nation, and Netanyahu just came out because the United States has come out and said, we want you to not do that mm-hmm. And just stop it. And Netanyahu says, I understand what you're saying. We don't, our nation doesn't agree with you. and we're going to keep going, and we're committed to keep going, and we're going to protect ourselves so this never can happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're planning this attack on Rama. So it hasn't happened yet, but it was stated that even without the United States support, they're going to go do it to mm-hmm. preserve themselves. And partly is because the entire nation is supporting it, and it's not like they have a small faction that said we're going to do this and the rest of them don't.
Right.
It's they're in complete unity. Yes, we're going to do this. And even if America doesn't support you, that will not stop us from what we're doing. So that's something that's dynamic right now, and it's in play. And there's a lot of misconception about the two-state solution.
Mm-hmm.
And Denny explained that. So all I would say is keep watching it and recognize that Israel is the center of things. We know Israel does survive and winds up being, you know, able to get through the tribulation. So we know that for sure. They're not going to be eliminated. But all the things that go on during this time and into the next, you know, season, we're supposed to watch and observe and try to understand it. So I just wanted to bring that up to date of, you know, what it's like and what's going to happen on the economic front. Go ahead, Kathy.
I was just going to say the other thing just to keep in mind in the midst of all of this, as we're watching this all unfold, and it's been going on now for so long, is one thing we absolutely can be doing to affect change in the midst of this is praying for our brothers and sisters over there.
Yep.
Praying for Israel, praying for the Christians that are stuck in the middle of it, whether they be in Gaza or whether they're on the Israeli side, but continuing to just ask for God's protection and favor and leading, and continuing to pray for Israeli leadership to hear from God. What is the response that he would have them to do in the midst of all of this, and to be listening and being guided step by step, because they are his people, right? And
right.
So just we want to, I just feel the need to emphasize praying for them is not a that's all we can do. It's that is a privilege to do.
Right.
And we can join him in his work in praying for his people, right?
Yeah, as well as just praying for, you know, wisdom on both parties, mm-hmm. side, both sides, to
yes,
just say,
absolutely.
Why don't we solve this in a different way? You know, and,
right.
and there will be a different opportunity for that. It's just a matter of who's willing to, you know, process it well. So my prayer is that they would at least recognize the opportunity to do it,
right.
and take the opportunity to do it. And so I hope that that does come about. On the economic front, you know, we've been talking about the uncertainty of the economy and the potential things that are happening, and that is that the debt level of the United States is now accelerating mm-hmm. at $1.5 to $2 trillion a year. And what's happened because of, remember, the interest rates that were, you know, from 2008 really up until around 2020 or 21 were in essence zero.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly above that. Now, see, they're in the, you know, the Treasury bills are in the 5, 6, 7% range, which means our interest payments on the debt has now gone to a place where it's exceeded the military budget. It's going to exceed the healthcare budget. And it'll be the biggest number and getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, this is a problem.
Inflation's
hitting the government too.
And remember that the receipts, because of how the economy is going particularly, but they can't even keep up with it, you know, is at a certain level, so that if you think of spending the amount you get, more and more and more of that spending is just toward interest,
mm-hmm.
which means the other things that I want to fund, I can't do. But what we do is we just keep borrowing more. So that's why our debt is rising at $1 trillion to $2 trillion mm-hmm. a year. And that's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So there'll be,
right.
you know, and it's one of those things that at the moment we don't see very many people addressing that, but
mm-hmm.
people in the know are trying to raise the flag and say, you better pay attention to this because
right.
this is going to cause a major trauma economically where it'll impact, you know, jobs and the ability to,
and ultimately worldwide impact,
and
right?
worldwide impact because of our position. So
mm-hmm.
One thing, we'll keep track of this a little bit and try to bring some more information about the impact of it
mm-hmm.
so that we do understand, and if and when it will stimulate a recession or it'll cause a deep downturn because of it. And there's a lot of other factors as well, that go into that. So we'll try to keep talking about that. And the only thing that I would say at the moment is that the economic conditions are in a place of great uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And it could stay pretty good, which seems to be it is right now, or it could go really negative. And if it goes really negative, it is going to impact us personally,
mm-hmm.
On many fronts. And so what we would say is, because of that uncertainty and the possibility of it and the factors are there, I would just start spending time with God about your personal situation.
Right.
In terms of, you know, the company you work with, the income you have, where are you positioned in case you lose it or in case it shrinks. God says, I can protect you, and I'll do that through delivering things to you or moving you to things, and I can give you wisdom about what to do today, mm-hmm. to get prepared for that. And so all we would say is that, and we've learned, you know, we can't for certain predict something. If we get to that point, we certainly will, but we do know one thing that's certain, and that's uncertainty. And with that uncertainty comes lots of potential issues, and the only one that knows is God.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about God is he said, I'll let you know, and to help you move through it. And again, we have great examples in Scripture of, you know, when Israel was destroyed, you know, in Jeremiah's time by Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, he actually at the end of it, and we'll actually talk about this further as we go into the discussion of the remnant, but he said, yes, you're going to get captured.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah, since most of the people aren't listening to me, I would like you to invite those that have a heart to become the remnant. And the remnant is, are you willing to follow me, even knowing that you're going to have trouble here?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, what I want you to do is leave the city. When Nebuchadnezzar comes, leave the city, because he's going to destroy the city and kill people. And you go out and basically surrender. And it'll be a peaceful surrender. And then you go back with him to Babylonia. I'll deliver to you protection, provision,
mm-hmm.
covenant life. Even there, it'll be different.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be not the same as you've experienced in the past, but the life will still be good. And one of the things, and I've actually looked at this in detail, and I did experience this during COVID, was regardless of mm-hmm. all the circumstances, you can still have great fellowship with other believers.
Absolutely.
And by the way, it might even get sweeter. It might even get better. You might even rejoice more. You might actually have a better life with that community that you have, even mm-hmm. though it's different. And we experienced that with COVID and Daniel and, you know, Jeremiah and all that experienced it in a big way in Babylonia. So we would just say, you know, be watching for that. And there are promises that God gives us in the face of danger and uncertainty. So the first one is, let's go to Ezekiel 14 and read verses 10 through 14.
Ezekiel 14?
Not Ezekiel, sorry, Exodus.
Okay. One
of the one
I
of
had
the
wrong one,
one
marked.
One,
just
one of
making
the,
sure.
One of the E's. Exodus 14, 10 to 14.
Sure. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt, bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.
Yeah. So the situation here is, you remember there, Moses had led them to leave Egypt, and it was through the final plague of the 10 where he killed the firstborns. You remember, the protection was Passover. was, you know, put the blood, do the sacrifice, put the blood on the door. And if you have the blood on the door, which is representing the blood of Christ, you will not be affected by the the judgment. And Pharaoh did. So he said, okay, you can go. So they, and remember, there are 2 million people. So this is, when, you know, when we think we can go, it's like, well, we get in the car and go.
No.
You got to march 2 million people, you know, now to the, you know, at this point, they're going to go to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh says, yeah, you can go. Go ahead. So they get ready and they start marching. And while they're marching, guess what? Pharaoh says, you know what? That was stupid. No, I'm not
going
to
after him anyway.
I'm going after him with my army, chariots and all that. And they're walking so we can catch them. And then we're stronger than them and we'll kill them. Okay, so now they know that's happening. We have something that isn't going to work, and we thought it was doing the right thing, but it looks like not, and it's a surprise to us, and it seems to us we would have been better, you know, just being part
in Egypt.
Just being part of the system and living that difficult life, but at least it wouldn't be, you know, killing us. Why did you do this? Okay, so when we're facing this uncertainty, you know, the economic uncertainty, what's happening in the Middle East, political uncertainty, the cultural uncertainty, and the things that we would say are getting worse and worse and worse, more stressful. Everybody, if you do have a job, by the way, you're likely overworked because your company is trying to save money by not having other people do things, and and you got to do them. And so everything about it, it just seems life is just difficult. And, you know, Linda and I were actually talking about this, you know, the other day of, it just seems like everything we're involved in because of, you know, technology and other situations, it just seems like everything is so difficult to function and to operate. And you can't get a hold of people, and you try to get some help. You know, one of the things that, you know, we do is we tape and we have cameras. And, you know, a couple of times, you know, which happened a couple of weeks ago, is the camera just stopped working. It's like, you know, and they said, well, just reboot it. Well, I rebooted it and it wouldn't reboot. So like, okay, everything, it's just, everything is so difficult, you know, and God says, yeah, I know. And our question is kind of like what the Egyptians or the Israelis said is, God, why did you bring us to this point? And it looks like we're not going to do well with it. And it doesn't look good to us. And why?
And this is hard.
And God, see, God's answer was, actually, I'm leading you to the covenant, to the promised land. Which they, by the way, rejected, and they wound up not going, but their kids did. So that, yes, life is hard because you live in a hard world. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble, and you're going to have uncertainty, and you're going to have things not work. And, you know, understand it. He says, I don't stop that, but what I will do is deliver you through it, and I'll lead you, you know, to the covenant. And so the neat thing is that he says, yeah, I know. I know that you're facing uncertainty. I know that you're facing difficulty and wondering what exactly is going to happen. And it looks like the future is not, you know, bright. And God says, yeah, it isn't. It isn't, but that doesn't stop me. And so he says, do not be what? Don't be afraid. Don't let fear of the future drive you to basically panic and make decisions that you think are better, but actually they're not.
And can be very reactive rather than.
And he says, rather seek the salvation of the Lord. And the word salvation here is wholeness, perfection, God's beautiful answer for the covenant. Be still and seek that, because God's going to deliver it. He said he will accomplish this. For you, and he said, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall, this is interesting, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your what? It says
you shall hold your peace.
Your peace, your shalom, your sense of well-being. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. But in the middle of it, I'm the one God speaking. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to protect you. I'll deliver the salvation. And as we're thinking about the end, and we started our session with, yeah, there's trouble and there's uncertainty on the horizon. Mm-hmm. By the way, is it leading to the end? Possibly. Is it just going to be a place of chaos and uncertainty and difficulty? I think that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And at least we ought to consider that and say, well, instead of being afraid, let's go seek God together and say, well, what do you have to say about it? And remember, it's going to be personal and unique to what God says to you about, you know, jobs and economics and what you do with your finances and how you enjoy life and your community. And he says, this is unique to you, and you got to come to me uniquely. Mm-hmm. And don't look at it as, you know, well, God, just make the economy really good.
Right.
When he says, well, actually, it's not going to get good. It's going to get worse. Then he says this, don't be afraid.
Right.
Do not be afraid.
Your provision is from me anyway.
Your provision is from me. I will deliver salvation. I will deliver covenant. You'll see me work. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you will be able to hold your peace, because you'll trust that I'm there for you, and I'm going to be there for you. And that's really, I think, a great indicator as we're talking to people about, you know, what's your view of the next several years or the next, you know, particularly 5 years. And there isn't a person I haven't talked to that says, I'm kind of afraid. Mm-hmm. You know what? Well, it could get worse. And it could impact me personally. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. And I'm afraid of the outcome of that.
Right.
Now, God says, that's okay. I understand that. Actually, I want you to understand the truth. You know, so God didn't say, well, they're not coming. Mm-hmm. Or they're not going to chase you down. Don't worry about it. He said, yeah, they're coming.
Right.
it is going to get worse. But I'll protect you. I'll take care of you.
Right.
You know, come and follow me. Come and seek me. Believe what I have to say. And he said, the privilege you have is you're walking with me, and I know I can do it. See, I know how to do it, and I can do it, and I'm going to do it for you if you have a heart to go. So the encouragement as we look at particularly this end times discussion is, are we afraid? Yes. He said, well, don't stay there. Mm-hmm. Let's go to peace, because you'll know that you know that you know I've got you. And I'm going to direct you, and I'm going to take care of this. And it's not dependent on the trouble of the world. It's really dependent on you walking with me, because I have a path for you to experience it. So we just wanted, with those words, we just wanted to encourage everybody is that he didn't even say it's bad to be afraid. He just said, don't stay in fear, but move with me to peace. And the way you move with me to peace is trust who I am and what I promise you.
Right. Eyes locked on the King, the faithful God, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So as we think of, you know, things that are happening in the world, there's stuff going on that are going to, in my mind, in what I see and what I observe and what I study, it's going to get worse. And the economic conditions, I think, are in position to get worse. Timing of, I don't know. But even if it's a year or two, it's for us to know, okay, Father, what would you have us do now to be ready for that? And you have wisdom for that. And why would I not want to seek it when I have the privilege of it, knowing that you're going to provide salvation, wholeness? So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this encouragement that we get even out of Exodus. It was happening. They were afraid, properly so. But you say you don't need to stay there. Seek me. Watch. Observe the fullness of what you're going to do, and that you can guide and direct them to the right spot. And we can hold our peace because we can have confidence of that. So we just pray that we won't move to fear, but rather to truth, and then to seek your will as we understand it. We praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And if today brought questions up for you, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. We would love to talk about them and just be encouraged again today by the words that Rich shared, because our God is above all and he is faithful. And I think this is a time for us to press in and recognize the call to be a Daniel generation.
Yeah, amen.
You know, right in the midst of it all, to be abiding with him and walking with him and letting him lead and deliver us to the life he has for us, yeah. Right?
Yep, amen.
So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, we'll see you.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.